This is the Telstra AFL Trade Radio Podcast. Subscribe now on iTunes.
But I want to ask you, what does this mean for Bradley Hill now? Because they obviously were going to offer pick six St Kilda.
Yeah, they were prepared to do that.
The Dockers wanted two, Matt, St Kilda.
What the Dockers wanted back was also next year's first pick and something else on top of that. And it was long known by St Kilda that that's what the Dockers had initially requested. But a meeting 2 days ago in Docklands confirmed that, and it also confirmed that they weren't going to move on that. And as such, that meeting, Lordo, as we reported on Trade Radio yesterday, lasted all of 2 minutes and 37 seconds before the St Kilda contingency just upped and left. And I get that. I get them walking out at that stage. And it's no coincidence that within 24 hours of that meeting blowing up and talks breaking down again, the Saints have then gone and enacted on those draft pick swapping. So I'm with you. We rack our brains as to how these deals get done. And we do have a belief, don't we, both of us, that most of the times, 90% of players who nominate a football club do get there. There's the exception. And Bradley Hill, as we sit here today on this end of week one officially of trade period 2019, is basically in as much limbo as any player right now without a new home.
I just want to ask the question now of you, Damon. Do they need to let a player go now, St Kilda? Because next year they need to keep their picks for Ben King. So. Yeah. Ben King, they can't be giving a future.
This is the key to this whole scenario, isn't it? You are so big. I think you've alerted the public to how good these Max and Ben King players were. One's gone to St Kilda, one's gone to Gold Coast. One more year on his contract on the Gold Coast is Ben. And it's just an acceptance now that St Kilda will come so hard for him next year. But the acceptance also carries with it, Lordo, and tell me if I'm wrong, that it's going to be a two times first round draft pick offering in order to engage in conversations around that possibility, isn't it?
Well, if Tim Kelly's was the biggest nearly of all time, I think this one would be bigger. If Ben continues on, just the growth, even this year, he had only a rising star. He kicked four against the Bombers late in the year, and he showed some amazing signs. You think another 4 or 5 kilos over this offseason. We just saw how quick he is. He's good below his knees. The Suns gave up, recruited him at pick 5 or 6.
And even prior to that, you obviously have exposure to the young kids in Victoria and some more than others. But I've never heard you in the lead up to that draft 2 years ago talk about these two players the way you did, as people and as players and as almost guaranteed to be AFL stars. So it's high price, isn't it? So that you can see why the Saints right now are not going to be contemplating anything in the first round for next year's draft picks. And the other problem they've got on that aspect of it, Lordo, is next year they plan to go up the ladder. Now, how far that is, who knows? But what I'm saying there is when they go into this particular trade period, initially with pick 5, it got pushed back to 6, it's not going to be that lucrative to begin with, is it? If they finish on the ladder where they expect to finish, it could be as high as 10 or 11. In an ideal world, if they finish high into the finals, even worse than that. That is going to make it even more difficult to get King out than it will be to get Hill out.
And I just wonder, a lot of people will start, I'm sure, call in and say, okay, Melbourne, we've got pick 3, or Adelaide Crows, we've got pick 4. Can we get Bradley Hill? Just sort of things like that. But these things are months and months in the making, aren't they? Yeah. Where Bradley Hill's got his mind set on playing for St Kilda. They've done the numbers. A club just having a spare $800,000, $900,000 even sitting around in the planning is hard work. So I just wonder. But it's probably more unlikely than likely that he ends up at another club. But
There's always a club prepared to throw a Hail Mary, though, Lordo, isn't there? Mm. And the club I'm about to refer to is the one that Bradley Hill once played for in Hawthorn Footy Club. Could they do something? We know the money's there because they went hard for Canelio in the offerings and were out of the race reasonably early. We know they went hard last year for Dylan Scheel. That money effectively hasn't been spent, has it? It must be there somewhere. Could they be the curveball component to what lies ahead before deadline on Wednesday of 2019 trade?
Well, I know Mark already is on the line wanting to have a chat to us, but I think his club, who he's about to talk to about the Demons, he's exactly the player. I know, but then suddenly Ed Langdon's waiting and wanting to get a deal done. So I think Brad Hill's a better player than Ed Langdon. Ed Langdon's exactly what they need, but he hasn't got the class and the polish of Bradley Hill. And he hasn't had the career of Bradley Hill just yet in terms of premierships and and, you know, winning games for his club. So
okay, so yeah. Looking at that, with what you've proposed there, Melbourne currently has pick in front of this year, 3 and 22. They seem about right, don't they, in order to wrench both Bradley Hill and Langdon out of the Dockers. But that would then leave them with their first pick in the draft at pick number 42. Ideal world, you don't go into a draft with that as your first pick, do you, given what's happened to Melbourne? Or do you just put into the this was unexpected bracket that what happened in 2019 and feel they're on the right track? Are these the sort of chess games that could be still played from here?
Yeah, I think so. I think that because the issue for Melbourne is exactly they haven't got what these two players are in Bradley Hill and Ed Langdon. You look at it, you know, Oliver, Viney, Brayshaw, Max Gawn, James Harms. So I think throw those two in, suddenly you think, okay, we're pretty excited about our midfield now. And obviously, yeah, Wiedemann, Tom McDonald. So their ends, Jake Lever, full preseason, Steve May, full preseason. I'd be pretty excited if you threw those two in to say, yeah, we can bounce back pretty hard with a full preseason, kick up the backside, that, I think it'd be pretty exciting and a good move to get those two in if you could.
You posed the question a few moments ago, do the Saints need to give up a player in order to get something done? And the answer to that is yes. The problem that they've got is the players they are throwing up are not high-currency players. Right. And the ones they have on their list that do have the currency, they don't want to part with for obvious reasons. Blake Akers was a name thrown around. The Dockers, I believe, Lotto, had no interest in that. And I get that. He's a nice player, but he's not going to be a deal changer. Yeah. And we've seen other names, Dunstan and Nunes, good players, but not ones that get deals over the line. They're just add-ons. And I think that's their problem as we sit here today. And they've got Graham Allen behind the scenes, and obviously Simon Lefflin, who effectively in some ways devised this player trade system when he worked at the AFL. He knows how it works. I mean, he's got a mind where he's a deal maker. He's a deal maker from way, way back. Those two minds combined, I still feel deep down that they will somehow get the deals done, but it's certainly not obvious to the outsider. So some deals are obvious, aren't they, to the outsider? This one right now, even to people who work in the space and have paid to work in the space, can't see how St Kilda get all these players in, and particularly Brad Hill.
So as a list manager like Gubby, he'll go out there and James Gallagher, and you'll have a crack at four or five players, and you don't expect to land them all. So you might say, okay, let's have a crack at these five, and maybe three will come through for us. But in St Kilda's case, they've landed them all, but I suppose you wouldn't let a player nominate your club, you'd hope, if you can't get the deal done. But this is what I fear for one of these players at St Kilda. They've gone to the extreme to tell their club, tell their teammates, now I've decided I want to leave, and one of them won't be able to make it to St Kilda. That's sort of getting the sense that I can understand why they would leave. St Kilda reportedly have offered Dougal Howard a five-year deal between $500,000 and $600,000. So, of course, you're going to say, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Bradley Hill, 5 years at $800,000 to $900,000, I'm in. Zach Jones, who knows what he's getting paid compared to his Sydney contract.
Yep. They've had to offer financially way more than others because historically in recent times that they haven't been a club of choice, have they? They haven't been easy to sell, and clubs have and players have said, no, we're not going there. But something turned last year. They had a reasonable year for a season in which they sacked their coach, didn't they? And the buoyancy that came with Brett Ratten being confirmed as that, the development of their younger senior players, it looks okay, doesn't it? And they had, crucially, money to burn. Mm. But you can't burn forever, can it? It eventually burns down. And I'm like you. I just don't see how all four players now who've nominated the Saints publicly, and that's the other aspect to what you're saying, publicly, yeah.